It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who is a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother.
Aunties.
Yeah. Thank you. Leanne Tweeden, who is a wonderful mother. I know that because I know her kids, Kaya and Kane. She is joining me today because it wouldn't be fair for Alan Gervie to be doing the Mother's Day special Gervie's Law without a wonderful mother, Leanne Tweeden.
Thank you.
And it's so great to have you back. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show about what it means to you to be a mother and how you strive to be the wonderful mother so involved with your kids that I know you are.
Absolutely. I have some thoughts on that and how I was raised and yeah.
So you have to stay tuned to hear what Leanne, because I know how she was raised and she, you know, they did it right. So we're going to hear about that. I also was raised right. And I give all the credit in the world to my parents. My father's no longer with us and it's not Father's Day today. It's Mother's Day. So I am just so excited that I can welcome to Gervie's Law the person who has made me what I am today, Evelyn Gervie. Mom?
Hi, you're making me cry already.
Aww, happy Mother's Day.
And we're not into the show that much.
Yeah, we're not into the show and you're already crying. I bet if we get farther into it, I can make you cry so easily. And it's because you are so committed. You have always been so committed to being a mother. That has been your number one priority, I believe, in your lifetime, even though you've accomplished a lot professionally. But don't you think, Mom, that you have always been a person who just wanted to do the best for your kids and wanted the best for your kids?
That's for sure. I tried my best, and I was there for my kids as much as I could be.
You know, I remember...
And I have wonderful kids.
You do have wonderful kids, and I think that tells us something. Well, you haven't met my brother and sister, but...
Well, I can speak for you.
Mom, she hasn't met Martin or Gayla, but she's speaking for me.
Well, so you'll be the representative.
Yes, I am
of
the,
our family.
I am
are
the
you
representative.
Happy?
Yes, I'm the representative. I'm probably the biggest mouth in the family, too. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
There's a lot of good things that come out of that mouth. So that's okay.
That's true. A lot of good things, a lot of bad things, too. But
a lawyer's perfect. Yeah.
That's right.
See?
It's right. And you haven't met Leanne. She is sweet. And she, believe it or not, is the mother of two kids who go to school with Hudson and Harper, our kids.
Oh.
Small world.
And
nice.
Like...
Leanne?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mom.
Nancy, of course, I wish Nancy, my wife, happy Mother's Day, a wonderful, wonderful mother to Hudson and Harper. And I think, you know, it's amazing how I experienced having a great mother. And now my kids are fortunate enough to have a great mother who does all the things that my mom did, but it was a little bit different. One of the things I remember, Mom, and this just stands out in my mind, is I went to school at Brown University, which was in Providence, Rhode Island, and I'm living in Winnipeg, Canada. I used to take a flight to go to school at the beginning of the year or after Christmas. I would take a flight to go to Providence, and I always took this really early morning flight, and I remember like at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up, and there you were, You were crouched over my duffel bag and you were stuffing these like cakes and cookies and all kinds of stuff that you had been baking for like 6 months from the freezer and you had gotten up.
So you had carried away.
But do you remember getting up in the middle of the night while I was still sleeping? What were you doing? And you were putting, what are those things in there that to make the food so it stayed?
Oh, the ice packs?
Yeah, you put ice packs in.
Yeah. And keep the food fresh.
Yeah, to keep the food fresh. You used to make like shortbread cookies and marble cake.
Oh my goodness, my stomach's growling.
And all kind. And you even sent some other things that you would make. I mean, I always picture
chocolate cake.
Yeah, chocolate cake, especially on Valentine's Day. You made that
with the heart-shaped pan.
The heart-shaped pan.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I remember waking up in the middle of the night so tired, and you had all this energy that you were packing on your hands and knees, putting all this stuff in the duffel bag. Where did you get the energy?
I guess I ate a lot.
No, but see, in my mind, you weren't stuffing the cakes in his duffel bag. You were stuffing love in the duffel bag.
Well, that's true.
That's why you had all that energy. Yeah.
I'm going to start crying soon.
You know,
you don't know me. I cry at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, you do. And I remember, you know, when you talk about the baking, you've been a phenomenal cook and baker. And I would come home from school when I was a kid, and there was always amazing smells in the house, like you had made these cookies, chocolate chip cookies or cakes. And I remember you made that coffee cake, which was really good that I liked.
Yes, you liked that.
With sour cream in it or something?
Right. Sour cream.
In that little square pan.
Yeah. It's 8x8.
8x8.
8x8. I know that. I'm a baker, too. Yes, the 8x8 pan.
I have 9x9.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, it wasn't only the things that you did for me. It's also what you said to me. And I remember, and maybe Leanne can identify with this, I was 21 years old. It was New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, I had way too much to drink. And I was with a girlfriend at the time, and she got really angry with me and sent me home in a cab. I was living in Chicago at the time, and she put me in a cab and sent me home. I called
Because you were drunk?
Yeah. I guess I wasn't acting.
Sloppy drunk.
I wasn't acting very well. I called my parents the next day on New Year's Eve to wish them a Happy New Year, and I was just so upset. I was like, I made a fool of myself. I will never be able to live this down. It was horrible. And some parents probably would say things to you like, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? But my mom said, it happens. I remember when your dad got so sloppy drunk and he was acting strange and crazy. These things happen. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Aww.
Why, Mom, did you come out? Like, why have you always been so supportive? Why haven't you gone after me when I've been a bad boy?
Well, I haven't been that bad. There's always a reason for things that happen.
That's right.
So
a lot of times people don't think about the reason.
We are parents who are always there for our kids, no matter what. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. You're there no matter what. And I think you were really cognizant of not hurting me and not making me feel bad. That's what unconditional love and unconditional support is all about.
Yeah, not that it would happen lots of times, but once in a while, things happen.
Yeah.
And so you forgive it.
You know, it's such a good point that you say that. It's once in a while, because for the most part,
it's New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's Eve.
Catch us some slack. You know, you're 21. You're partying. You're living it up in Chicago.
But I felt bad. It's about the emotions. And you know, Mom, you had a special ability to make me feel okay when I felt bad. And I think that's what the key is to a mother, to be able to do that for their kids.
My friend is sitting here.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Do you want to say hello to her?
No. We're going to talk to you. I'll talk to your friends when I come and visit you in Toronto.
She's leaving.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you something else, because a lot of people don't understand. Not only were you doing this as a mother, but you were also working in the library as a supervisor, and you'd work till 10 o'clock at night in freezing cold weather in the wintertime when it was 30 below zero and the snow was up to your hips.
Wow.
And you would be unplugging your car, because the car had to be plugged in or it wouldn't start, by yourself in the dark in the middle of the night at 10 o'clock, not the middle of the night, just to come home to your kids afterward.
And I remember the time some man stopped and said, I'm waiting for a tow truck. And he said, well, you can sit in my car till they come. And I was afraid. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And I said, oh, that's okay. I'm not cold.
And
That would be me too.
That's funny. So your car had actually broken down that day in the mill, and you were by yourself. You had worked your at the library.
It was 10:30 because I worked till 10.
That's amazing. Like, why do mothers do that? Wasn't there a better?
They were mothers. Quotation marks.
I mean, the sacrifices that you make to do that is really something. I don't know where you're able to find it.
Well, do you want to say hello? Do you want to say hello to my friend?
No, she's a mother too.
She's leaving.
Okay, you can say goodbye to her. Because we're on the air right now, and we're going to have to take a break shortly, and I just want to finish up. I don't want you to get distracted by all your friends who come over to hang out with you.
Mom's popular.
Well, that's, yeah.
Have you always been popular? You're really into, okay.
I can't remember.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. We're going to take a break. You can say goodbye to your friend. What's your friend's name? You don't have to tell us. It's okay. She's more. See, this is what a mom is about. More interested in taking care of.
Just hang on. Just say hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. We're going to have to take a break. And Danielle, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gurvey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on AM 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Hope you're having a great day. We have my mother, Evelyn Gurvey, on the line. Mom, you still there?
Yeah.
From
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
To me and all the other mothers.
Yep, and to my wife, Nancy, and to your other daughter, Gayla.
My daughter-in-law,
Brenda.
Friends.
Yeah, your grandchildren, you have...
Grandchildren, granddaughters.
Ten grandchildren and six great-grandchildren, right?
Gee, something I must like be great.
You must be great if you're a great-grandchildren.
Awesome, that's great.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about a little bit now about what makes an awesome mom. In the first segment, Mom, you talked about, you know, what you've done over your lifetime as a mother, all the stuff that I remember that... made me what I am today. And I'm going to ask Leanne Tweeden, who has had an amazing career in broadcasting and a lot of stuff. And I think I can safely say that probably your most important job, and you've had a lot of really great jobs working right here at KBC and elsewhere, is probably being a mother to Kaya and Kane.
I've said since the day that my firstborn Kane was born, that parenthood and being a mom was the best thing I've ever done. Hands down, you know, becoming a parent and becoming a mom was the greatest joy of my life. You know, I realized the immense responsibility of it, right? And I realized as he was getting older, you know, the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and monkey see, monkey do. And I realized, they watch everything you do. They mimic everything you do. They watch, they listen to everything you say, and then it comes out of their mouths. And I said, whoa, you know, I have this tiny little human. Not only are they like little aliens that are, you know, just full of fat, and, you know, as they're growing up, you're trying to turn them into these little, you know, you want them to be productive little members of society, and you want them to represent you and your family, and you want them to be good humans and respectful. And I said, whoa, that's a big responsibility, but it's also our job to fill them with love.
It really is. And I think you present really a very difficult, almost conflict sometimes because you want them, you know, you want to fill them with love and all that stuff. And also everything you all said was true, but sometimes it's in conflict. You know, Mom, what I've said to you sometimes is, oh, Hudson and Harper are different from me in a lot of ways. And what have you always said? Of course they're different from you. Let them be who they are. Haven't you said that to me, Mom?
They are their own little person.
Right.
That's so true.
But at the same time, you have all of these kind of needs and urges to do exactly what Leanne just said, which is you want to prepare them for the world. You want to impart everything or a lot of things.
I think that's part of being a parent, don't you think?
Yeah. No, I think
you'd want to prepare them for the world. It's your responsibility.
But at the same time, you want to balance them being who they are and not being you. I mean,
not overdo it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what they call a helicopter parent.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, hovering over.
All the time.
All the time.
That's right.
So how
hovering parent.
A hovering one. How do you deal with that, Leanne, when you're thinking about being the best parent you can? And you told me before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit about these thank you cards.
Yes, and teacher appreciation week.
You and I had a little bit of a conflict or dispute about it. And I totally get what you were doing. You were helping them with these cards that say thank you to their teachers.
Right.
And that was my first kind of urge or need when I was doing this with my kids. And then I backed off. I walked away. I closed my eyes and said, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do.
Right. And I think, you know, they're like extensions of us, right? So I always think, oh, whatever they present to their teacher, it's, you know, it's coming from home or it's what they've learned at home from their parents. So you always want it to be in the best light, right? Because you don't, I've volunteered so much at school and, you know, you see what parents are involved, whose parents are involved, whose aren't, which is no fault of the child, but you really can see, you know, who's who and you know, who's been nurtured or who's
been... But is that right? See, I get it because that's me.
Right.
But I'm trying to take a step back
and
say, you know what? That's not how I would do it.
Well, there's definitely a fine line, like with the thank you notes. My son, my daughter's definitely extra. I don't need to prod her into doing any extra sentences or lines. I mean, she wants to draw pictures and watercolors and, Mommy, I want to write this. Help me spell this word. I mean, she tries to do it herself, which is great. I'm like, I want to say it's not spelled like that, but I think it's cute for a kindergartner. Leave it alone, because when you look back on it, the six-year-old who misspelled that word with a CK instead of a C or a K, it's pretty cute, right? So I've resisted that urge.
Yeah.
I used to be like, that's not spelled right, because I'm trying to teach him. But, you know, I've taught myself, too. With my son, he's very, I'm not going to say lazy, but he does the minimum. If they say, oh, here, you know, make sure you do at least a paragraph or something, he will do the most basic sentence. I sat down, I was under the tree, or what? Okay. I'm like, can we say I was under the blossoming, you know, oak tree or whatever? You know, I'm like, can you
but
just put a couple adjectives
here? So, I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm a flowery writer.
Right.
So I have that
just
urge.
Just a little more effort.
But I have to ask my mom, you have often said to me when I talk, because Leanne has the same situation. She's got a daughter who's younger than her son, and they're close in age, just like me, just like Hudson and Harper.
Yes.
Kaya is the Harper, and Kane is the Hudson, even though Kaya is younger than Harper, and Kane is the same age as Harper. But, Mom, what you've said to me, what Leanne's talking about, you often say, it's a girl versus a boy. And I'm not sure. You're in Toronto. No one's going to scream at you. But here in LA, especially with things that have been going on this week, you might have people saying that's not the right thing to say. Although I believe you, Mom, when you say, oh, that's a girl, when you're writing flowery, when you're spending extra time and the boy is just writing the minimum. Do you believe, Mom, that it is a girl boy thing or is it a person thing?
Well, I sometimes think the girl is more flowery and could have more patience to write, rather a boy sometimes just writes the minimum.
I think she'd hit the nail on the head. Yeah, he doesn't have the patience to sit there and write.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Well, as I say, girls are usually like flowery and.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, when you talk about patience, you know, I know I, you know, Hudson sits down and he'll write his thank you, just I'm sure like Kane did, but he'll go and play basketball outside and that'll go on. He'll have patience to play basketball, but not to write a flowery thank you note.
Because that's hard. You know, that's not what he wants to do.
That seems normal to me.
Yeah, see?
So, I mean, you know, like, he's more interested in the basketball than in the thank you note.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, he's not going to be a pro basketball player. You've seen how tall our family is.
Right now he's playing. At least he's having some exercise.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
He's enjoying it, obviously. And, I mean, he'll quit soon. That's the way it is.
I didn't quit. You know, you went to so many of my games. You grew up because my whole life was sports growing up, and I played baseball till I was 21. I played junior baseball in Canada. I also played high school basketball on our high school team, varsity team, and I played football on our varsity football team, and I was quarterback, and I know that you would come to the games and cringe.
I would sit there with my hands over my eyes, being afraid to see you hurt.
A total mom right there.
I'll say one thing, that you let me do it all, and that's what I really appreciate.
Yeah,
you never shared with me that you had your hands over your eyes or that you were cringing or that you would probably be happier if I was in the library studying, but I was out on the football field, I was getting, because I'm a small guy, I was hitting very hard because I had to make up for it. And you just let me do it. You just let me be. You didn't interfere.
That's true.
Leanne?
No, I think that's great. And I think, you know, as a parent, you just try to make the overall boundaries, right? You want to let your kids know that there are boundaries. And then, but everything else within that box is free game. And you want to, you know, I've always said too, when my kids play on the playground, I just sort of back away, let them do things. And I tell them, I'll yell out, hey, be careful, because you might, you know, if you do that, you don't have any pads underneath you, you could fall on your neck or whatever. Try to be safe, you know, make good choices. I let them make choices. Do they get hurt? Of course they do. I mean, my daughter, right before her one little play for kindergarten this year, she does swim at school. After swim, she was waiting for me to come down, and she was on the monkey bars, and she slipped, and she cut her chin open. She had to go get, we had to take her to the hospital, the emergency room. She had to get stitches, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I was so angry because it was the day before the play, and it was like having to stop the bleeding, and then she broke it open again the night before. And my husband, he comes in, and he had just come in from a trip, and he's laughing. And I was cussing. I was stomping around because I was upset for her, because I didn't want her to be, she was like the little doll and she was dressed up. And you know, and he's like, calm down. He's like, that's just who she is.
Yeah.
And I kind of laughed, and he took all the wind out of my sails. And he's like, calm down, Leanne. He's like, you're getting worked up over nothing.
Yeah.
Like in the long run.
I hear that from my wife a lot. But, you know, the other thing is that you have to understand that it's part of growing up. I mean, I'm so proud of my son. When he gets beaned, when he's playing baseball, he gets hit. The first thing he does is run to first. You know, if he's really hurt, we're going to know it.
Right.
But I don't even say anything to him. My wife goes crazy. She's like, oh, is he okay? He's okay. I said, we'll know if he's not okay.
Right.
Get to first and get ready to steal second.
Awesome.
We're getting ready to steal second in the next segment. You're listening to Gervie's Law on this Mother's Day right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on AM 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm here with Leanne Tweeden, Mother of the Year. Can I say that?
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of mothers.
I think you just did.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of mothers.
I think every mom that tries their hardest is Mother of the Year.
We are saluting mothers today. I hope you're having a happy Mother's Day. And it is a treat and honor to have my mother, Evelyn Gervie, on the line from Toronto. Mom, you're still there?
I am.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. We've been talking to my mom and Leanne for the last half hour about being a mom, and it's been so interesting because it's such a difficult thing. You don't know until you're in that role, and of course, I'm a dad, but the issues are similar. And even Leanne and I talking, we're learning. I'm learning about, you know, strategies that you use, your thought process, and you're learning about mine. And they're not always conflicting, but sometimes they're just challenging. We've talked a lot about challenges. Let's talk a little bit about how special it is to be a mom and what the great experiences are.
Evelyn, do you want to go first?
Why don't you?
You want me to go first? Well, All right.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the joy of anything, you know, when your kid accomplishes something and they're proud of themselves, you know, like, look, mommy, I did something, or they did something hard that maybe they were worried about. I mean, because even kindergartners get stressed about little things, you know, or they want to do their best and they accomplish something, or they do the play and they remembered their lines, and that self-pride that they realize as little humans that they can do things.
You know, it's interesting you say
makes
that
you
because
proud.
Someone, well, you just said two things that I'm dissecting. I am a lawyer. I get to dissect.
Yeah, of course.
So you said it makes them proud of themselves, and then you said it makes you proud.
Sure.
Someone once told me, we were having a discussion, and he said, try not to say, I'm proud of you, to your kids. Say, are you proud of yourself?
Right.
To kind of foster this feeling of pride in themselves versus only doing things for you. And I know that that's a tough one for me, and my wife Nancy would say that because I'm very, you know, passionate and competitive and everything. But I truly believe that I want my kids to feel good about themselves. Mom, when you were,
well,
when
that's
I was
very important.
Why is it
to
important?
To have the kids feel good about themselves.
So it develops confidence?
Pardon?
Do you think it develops confidence that's so important?
Yes.
You know,
they feel good, and then they're not afraid of doing things.
Right.
But they have to, you know, when they feel good and they're happy, they can do things, whereas some kids are so scared they don't want to open their mouth.
That's right.
You know, and that's what you have to balance, the trying to not put too much pressure on them so that it comes from within.
Right.
And it sounds like that's what you're
and you know,
talking
like,
about.
When Cain writes something, and I know he did it really quick, and sometimes it looks like doctor's handwriting, you know. He knows now. I'll just look at him, and I go, that's fine. I won't say anything. I won't make him do it again.
But does he know from your body language that you're
the
pissed?
There's the eraser. Well, no. Well, but he understands that I'm disappointed because why? Because I know, but more importantly, he knows he can do better, and he will take the eraser, and then he'll I see him trying really hard, and then he goes, "Mommy, is this better?" And I go, "Do you think it's better?" Or he'll show me something, and I'll go, "Is that your best work?" And he'll be honest. Sometimes he's like, "It is." And I go, "Great. Perfect. Let me sign off on it." Or but I, you know, you have to sign off on your homework.
Right.
And then sometimes I just look at him and I go, "Is that your best?" And he gives me the and I
How old is he?
He's 8. He's in second grade.
Yeah, he's Harper's age. In fact,
okay.
they take violin together. Cain's a little farther advanced because he's been taking it a little longer. So but you know, I think that because, you know, I think what we're all talking about is parents who care enough about their kids so that the kids develop these skills and feelings.
And, you know, I think the point is that I'm trying to let him know what it feels like. I mean, once they're proud of themselves, that just is inherent. You can't teach that, right? When a kid does something that they've been working on and they have that, oh my gosh, I just did that. That's not us teaching them anything. That's their own feelings of like, whoa, I did something that was really hard. Mommy, look at this or whatever. They're very and I want them to remember that and how hard they worked and what they did so they can practice good.
Repeat it.
Exactly. It's like doing homework. You know, Cain wants to do it. They want to come home and play. Or they want to watch TV. They want to go outside. I go, we got to do the hard, important things first. Do your homework first.
Yeah.
It takes 5 minutes. You know, do it now,
you know,
so then you can do other things.
When you talk about that, I'm just thinking about my own situation. I don't remember, Mom, I don't remember when I was growing up that you had so much impact in terms of making me do things. I think kids are different. I was just one of those kids.
Times are different,
and maybe
too.
The times were different too. Yeah, because we didn't have all the iPads and all the distractions.
Exactly.
Like, what did we do with our time? Mom, do you remember?
And were there
home before you had homework to do. And we would just check that you did it.
And we'd play
outside. There wasn't all these fancy.
But I used to play outside.
iPads and stuff like that.
Yeah, we didn't have the iPads. Well, we used to play outside. You used to just like, I don't know what you were doing when I played outside until you called us in for dinner.
Dark, yeah.
I was making dinner.
And then after that, what were you doing? Were you...
Watching TV.
Moms need a break, too. Come on now.
I wasn't writing books.
You weren't writing a book. You were watching TV. And we were having fun. I mean, yeah.
And also, you were doing homework if you had a question, if we could answer. Daddy was pretty smart, the pharmacist.
Yeah, he was smart.
My husband gets the math homework. That's not me at all.
Yeah, he was scientific. My dad was very scientific. But I just don't remember it being so intrusive in our lives. But maybe times were different today
have so many things going on. I don't remember having all of these after school things. And, now there's so many different programs going on. They have all kinds of, instruments to play and sports to play and
you're taking them. You're taking them everywhere. I know, Mom, remember when I played hockey in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning before school?
Daddy used to
get up and take me to the rink.
Impressive.
But was that
high school?
No,
I was younger. Wow.
I was in third grade. I played tackle football when I was in second grade. I was a little kid.
Yeah, but to go and play hockey before school, that's...
Did I complain?
It's impressive.
I don't think I complained, did I, Mom?
No, I don't think so. Well, you're a real sports nut.
You probably were complaining that you actually had to go to school and get off the ice. That's the problem.
I don't know. All I know is that, my mother and my father were there for me. And
Incredible.
It saddens me to think that there are so many kids that don't have... parents like you, like Nancy, like me, who are there for their kids. I mean, that's where it all starts.
Yes.
Sometimes parents are busy now doing their own thing.
Yes.
And there are other pressures.
We would get up early to take you to practice. Some parents won't get,
Yeah, they won't.
Sometimes it's hard for a mother to get up so early.
Well, that's what separates the men from the boys.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was just thinking about what you, Alan, you had mentioned about kids having self-pride and stuff like that. Those are the things I want them to understand how they accomplished getting to that point, right, of doing something that was hard and working hard at it, practicing, and then they accomplish something that they know was hard, that doesn't come easy, and then they have that. I want them to have that when it's not in my presence. Do you understand? So my job as a parent is to help show them that they can do it for themselves and how to get there, how to maybe manage their time and do things that are productive that will get them to a place where, they can finish their homework or do a hard book report that might take a month or things that they can't maybe get there by themselves.
I think that's the most important thing. Discipline, developing discipline.
And that's hard for, it's hard for me as an adult.
Yeah.
Adults have a hard time with discipline.
Yeah, Mom, I was pretty disciplined, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And I attribute it to you.
Yeah, let you do
to
your
you and my
work.
Yeah, I did everything. It was my parents, right?
Doesn't fall far from the tree.
All right. We're going to talk to Ann Bremner after the break. You're listening to Kirby's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on AM 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. It's a great Mother's Day. I hope everyone is enjoying their day, whether they're a mother or not. I know we're enjoying it here with Leanne Tweeden, who has told us some great stories about being a mommy to Kane and Kaya. And my mom, having Evelyn Gervey on the line, has been wonderful from Toronto, talking about stories from when I was a kid. Mom, can you hear me, or is it too far from L.A. to Toronto to hear the phone?
I can't really hear you.
That's weird. All right. Well, you can listen. If you can't hear, you can listen without hearing. I know the first three segments.
I can listen without hearing?
Yeah, you heard
she
that.
She can hear you.
What kind of statement is that?
Thanks for being on top of me. You're still criticizing. You've been not criticizing. You've reviewed my speeches for many years, and I appreciate that.
She's mom, grammarian, like English teacher, like everything.
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 And my headphones aren't working either, so that's good. We just had a little breakdown in our equipment today. We're going to move on, Mom, whether you can hear or not. I know you heard the first because you gave some really insightful and interesting comments. And if you heard that, then you'll feel good. If you didn't, then I'll tell you later. So what I want to do right now, Leanne, and I don't know if you have had the pleasure of meeting a wonderful, one of the great attorneys in this country, one of the top few women attorneys throughout the land. And I will say one thing, that she had a great start in life because she was born on the same day, not the same year, June 4th, as my mother.
Oh.
So she has a birthday coming up, and I don't know if my mom heard that or not, but we've always talked about
Anne. I can't hear you.
Oh, great.
I didn't hear a word you're saying.
All right. Boy, you threw me for a loop. Only a mother can do that. You heard me perfectly through, and you have amazing hearing, by the way, Mom. You're not hearing this, but you have amazing hearing for your age. You hear more than
hearing.
You're not okay. All right, so we'll mute your phone, and we're going to bring Anne on, born on June 4th. And I'm not going to say the year because she looks amazing.
Gemini, beautiful. She always looks fantastic on
fantastic.
TV. I've never met her in person, but I'm a big fan.
Anne. With that kind, usually
so nice.
I usually give you an introduction about all of your accomplishments, which there are so many. But
uh-huh.
Now we're just talking about how great you look and what a wonderful person you are. So I think you can take that as an introduction.
Well, thank you. I'm overwhelmed. You're so wonderful, and it's such a pleasure to be with you guys.
Tell us a little bit. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened this week, but before we do, tell us a little bit about what Mother's Day has meant to you and what you remember, you know, growing up with your mother. And I know I've had your brother on the show, and he is equally as brilliant as you are. So it must have been just a brilliant family.
Yeah, you're so wonderful. I think I told you before that my mom passed away in 1966. So I'm giving away my age.
Right.
When I was seven, and my dad remarried pretty quickly. He had four kids, aged like 3 to 10. And I was so lucky that he married my mother, who was really my mother, Linnea.
Right.
She was about 26 years old, and she had tons of shoes and a career and a great life. And all of a sudden, she had four hoodlums. That's what she says.
She had to
like raise us, but she's been so fabulous. I mean, I'm so lucky. She's my best friend. We travel together. She was so supportive. She was the one that would go down to school and, you know, have a little talk with the teacher if the teacher said I was uncoordinated or last chair in violin or whatever. My biggest protector, you know, my biggest cheerleader. And she's been wonderful to my dad, who's now 89 and just went through cancer treatment. She's 80 now. And I just am so grateful for her in my life. I mean, she's more than a mother could ever be. And it just was by virtue of their falling in love and that we ended up with somebody that is my mother 110%. And I couldn't be happier. And I'm so grateful to her every single day.
I love that. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I tell people all the time, my mom and dad divorced when I was very young, when they were 6. But my dad raised us. So, you know, that's late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, that was very unheard of back then. And, you know, even talking about your timeline for, you know, a blended family back then, too. And for you to talk so you know, wonderfully about your mom that, you know, didn't give birth to you, but in all essence, was the mom that you probably wished for your entire life and how lucky you've been. That's incredible for any time frame, but especially back then, you know, now you still hear about like, oh, blended families and sometimes it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. Moms come in and they're resentful of the children the husband already had or whatever, you know, but it's really wonderful to me that I think that sometimes being a mom, they don't have to come out of your womb. My great aunt ended up raising me from six on through high school, mm-hmm. and she never had her own children, but she was more of a mom to me, really, than my own mother who gave birth to me.
Yeah.
And you know, it like mm-hmm. In the opening of the show, Alan said to all the moms and the grandmas and the great grandmas, and I'm like, and the aunties and even the friends and the neighbors, and it takes a village, and it's almost any woman. And mm-hmm. sometimes I always say, you don't even have to be a mother of given birth to be a great, you know, lover of children or to help raise kids in your neighborhood or your community.
I'm glad that Anne brought that up because, you know, there's so many people who have had different experiences and obviously they're positive, they're negative ones as well.
Sure.
But we have to be, you know, thankful that there are people who may marry into a family who take it on because, Anne, I don't have to tell you this because I know you've probably mm-hmm. seen it through your legal mm-hmm. practice that a lot of families don't get along and a lot of mothers don't speak to their kids or stepmoms may have problems. So, you know, I think it's a unique situation for each individual, and I think you're probably lucky to be the person who you are with all the influences that you've had through your life.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's kind of a strange thing to even think about her as a stepmother because I just don't. I mean, she is my mother, and I mean, that's just the way that it is. And she... I kind of think about, well, would things have been different, you know, if my first mother had lived? Well, I don't really have much of a memory of her. I'm amazed that I don't, but she gave birth to me. I loved her. But the person that's really been my mom is my mom, Linnea. And
right.
she gets very upset when people call her a stepmom. She hates that. She's like the evil stepmom. I'm like, well, no, I never used that word with her. I
mean, and that's it that we've been talking about this whole show of what they impart on you their whole lives, right? I'm sure she raised you, gave her your, you know, her values and tried to, you know, help raise you to be a, you know, a wonderful child and, you know, help you navigate life when you were a young teenager and coming into your womanhood. I mean, but that's what being a mom is all about. So she did all of those things for you, and I think you're really grateful. That's what it sounds like to me.
All right. Well,
it is. You know, I am. I was going to say one thing. One of my friends sent me a text and said, she said, you're so lucky to have such an amazing woman as your mom. She's my idol. Seriously. Aww. No one I know could do the incredible job she did. Absolutely amazing. You should write a book about her. I love that.
Wow. Great. That is really something.
Yeah.
And maybe mm-hmm. it's not a great transition with what I'm going to ask you, because not only are we talking about this, you know, these values and the importance of having the support of whoever it is in your life and whatever you mm-hmm. want to call them, but, you know, there's some realities that apparently things may be changing moving forward with respect to children being born. Our children not being born, and mothers in the future. Tell us your take on what everyone has been talking about with the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I know it's a weird transition, but...
No, I get it. I'm really interested in your thoughts. You're brilliant. I think, you know, first of all, this whole thing about a leak and Chief Justice Roberts ordering an investigation.
Right.
I'm kind of thinking... Somebody leaked that for a reason.
Right.
They're appalled, right?
Right. I mean, to me, I'm the non-lawyer in the room. My first impression uh-huh. was don't you leak things to like sort of put up a balloon, right? To see sort of what the response
exactly.
would be of the country and the world obviously is like tuning in. But just to see sort of how people are taking it to see maybe we'll change our tune or maybe we won't.
And have you seen this before? You know, you've been involved, obviously, with Amanda Knox situation, and have there been other cases mm-hmm. where you've ever seen, you know, this kind of leak? Obviously, not as dramatic.
No, I mean, I leaked something in the Amanda Knox case. I leaked all the crime scene videos because it looked like Fellini forensics, and I wanted people to see that this is the Amanda Knox case and what a terrible job they did at the scene. So you couldn't believe, you know, any of the evidence that they were, you know. trying to put forth in their case. And of course, she ultimately came home and the case was, she was exonerated, et cetera. Small scale that I did, but I did it for the same kind of reason. You know, you need to like influence. You need to
interesting.
Influence and just right, get it out there. And
yeah, that's
interesting. Let people see it.
That's interesting. So what about the, I know we only have a few minutes, but in the short version, what are we looking at? You know, is this going to disrupt all of our lives as we know it moving forward with the political issue?
I think so. I mean, Roe v. Wade was 1973. I never in my lifetime thought this would happen. I've always assured people that it would remain good law. You know, it happened when I was in high school.
Well, apparently a couple of the Supreme Court justices also said that when they were being interviewed by the legislature. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that generally that they're not, Roberts didn't say anything about it, as I remember. And, you know, they try and keep things close to the vest when they go through the confirmation hearings. But this is outrageous. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way.
You know, I think the only, you know, you asked me my... I'm not going to, I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but I do want to say that for the last couple of years, we've been hearing so much during COVID about individual rights and the body, you know, with the vaccination. You know, you're looking at that when people are saying, you know, it's my body.
My choice
with the vaccination. I'm just wondering why that's different with women.
Is it hypocrisy?
Yeah. That's why is it asking. Different with women? Anne?
Yeah. Why is it? It shouldn't be. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And I think people need to go back and read the opinion in Roe versus Wade. It was very well reasoned and it should remain. I don't know where they're going to come up with some new analysis, frankly.
Well,
so don't they have, like I said, I'm not the lawyer, so I'm asking for all the other people listening to the show. Don't they have 2 months to make, to change? This is not obviously the final opinion, correct?
No, it's not.
But
Ellen, don't you agree that if it's this draft, this is what it's going to be?
I mean, absolutely.
That is a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's not going to be a huge turnaround.
Wow.
There should be some wordsmithing and maybe some thoughts that go into it. But we're in for a long ride here. And unfortunately, I think it's just going to get worse in terms of what we're going to see from the public. And I don't want to be negative here. You really honored us with some of these thoughts. And thank you so much for coming on.
And happy Mother's Day to your mom. She sounds like a wonderful woman.
You honored me. Happy Mother's Day to you and to Evelyn.
And
we
to
can't
June,
hear this right now.
The June 4th twins.
I love the June 4th twins.
Thank you very much.
I'm honored.
Happy Mother's Day to all you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Anne. See you next week on Curvy's Law.